You know, a cluttered mind and a cluttered heart makes no room for God, period. He's pushed out. And as believers, I don't think any of us intentionally want that. We understand that's not a good thing. It's not a good way of building our spirit and our relationship with Him, but it keeps happening. And I believe that Satan loves to live in our clutter. I mean, it's sort of like he just rummages around in there in our minds and our heart and our clutter in our offices and our desk and our computers and everything and say, hey, if I can get these people sidetracked from living intentionally in their faith, I've won. I've got some scores on my side. And he's good at that. I hope that picture works because that's the reality. We get up every day and we choose what one thing are we going to do today? How are we going to live our lives to be intentional in our relationship with Christ? That's what we're talking about. Continuing from a discussion earlier this week, as we wrap up the week here, talking about clutter once again from some who didn't get a chance to share on the air. By the way, if you want to share your story with us or your comment, you can call 888-888-1717 and do that today on our storyline. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson along with Jennifer and Stephen and the rest of the team. And let's get into the calls here. We got Yolanda in Georgia up first. How are you doing today?
Well, hey, I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Good. Thank you for your call. What does decluttering your life mean to you?
Well, first off, I want to tell you, I love listening to you. Every time I'm in my car, I listen.
Thank you.
And I thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Well, thank you so much for that. When I was 4 years old to almost 26, I had an extremely challenging, bad life. And it put a lot in my mind of not being worthy of anything. I had to deal with that, and thank God I have. I've overcome all of this, but one thing I did have, I had brain surgery in 1996. My surgeon, I say, was super sweet and did the best thing possible. He's one of God's favorites. He's a Jewish man. And my pastor was there. We prayed, we read the Bible, we talked. Before that, I was shaking out of fear, but once we did that, God told me I was going in and I was coming out alive. So God makes things that, you know, I never forget. No matter how bad the hard times come, I always remember that. And back in 2015, I went to Uganda, Africa, because of hurt and sadness. While I was there, I felt it in my heart. This is where I need to be to help these poor people. I've been going ever since.
Wow.
And it really builds you up to know that you're helping.
Yeah, and it's also a reality that you're saying, hey, I'm not going to allow this cluttered past and experiences in my life to keep me down. As someone said, clutter smothers while simplicity breathes. And I think, boy, that's really a powerful picture, isn't it? There's something about simplicity when you can sit back and breathe and know that you're in control of the things you're in control of and the things you're not, God is. And that's really what we're talking about here. All right, thank you. Let's go to another call from Georgia. Stephen is on the line. What about clutter for you?
Well, you know, I really look at it, the reason why we're having some issues, because I think it's something that everybody really needs to think about. Our schedules. We get our schedules cluttered up so much that we don't have time for God. We don't have time for the things of God.
Right.
And I know when myself, I was working a job where I was working like 60 hours a week, and I was missing a lot of church. I wasn't doing the things of God that I needed to be doing, and I was lukewarm. I was not doing the things of God. And by doing that, I was, you know, just open season for the devil, different things in my life, worn at me, things going on. And when we let things clutter our life, we're not allowing God to have control of our life.
So what did you do?
With that, well, first thing is, you know, I got away from that job. I found another job where I can pretty much just make my schedule for me. But the biggest thing is I made time for God. You know, I made that number one because, you know, we're warned, and, you know, in the book of Luke, you know, it talks about the cares of this life causing us that day to come upon us unaware, you know.
Yeah.
And it's going to be something that's going to try the whole earth. And so I think it's really a thing of the enemy to get us cluttered up in our schedules and everything else, to get our mind on the cares of this life and not on the cares of God.
You know, in fact, I think what what I hear is that we can use this thing of clutter because it can be good things, my schedule, my work, my activities, lots of things going on. But we can use that as an excuse to keep us from things that are even more important.
Yes.
The urgent takes over the important in our lives. Yeah. How has it changed your life by making these decisions?
Well, you know, I've been called into the ministry, and I've had that call in my life for a long time, and I got called up with everything else instead of doing what God called me to do.
Yeah.
And that was the whole purpose of what the enemy wants, because just what you do, Dr. Randy, and others that the work they're with you, out here in the ministry, whatever Satan can do to keep you from reaching that one person and saving them from eternity and torment. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. That one person, just it can be as simple as taking time to be friendly with somebody and just tell them how good God is. You know, just you never know what that might do for that person in their life, what they're going through at that moment.
Yeah.
And we get so caught up in our own schedule and what we're trying to do that we don't think about others around us and what we're all ministry minded. If you're someone that is a Christian walking with Christ, and we neglect to do those things that God's called us to do, being a witness for Him. And when we do that, you know, that person, hopefully someone else, will answer the call to do what God, and they're not too busy and cluttered up in their schedule to do that. You know.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
I think another change that we would see is a new attitude. You know, a new attitude of what? Of love. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And all of the other pieces of that fit under the fruit of the Spirit. When we are radically transformed by Jesus Christ and our spiritual DNA is changed, do we have a new love for people? I wrestle with that. When we look at people who are different than we are, do we really love them? When we look at people who live differently than we do, have different lifestyles than we do, when people choose to live in sin, can we truly love them? Does Christ love them?
Boy, that's an excerpt from the lesson, and boy, how appropriate for where we are as a nation right now and what we've been through in the last several weeks. And I think we'll continue. I hope that that a revival will break out across the land, and people will be drawn to Christ, get plugged into churches. I know churches are busier, and that's good. And I hope it's not a 9/11 moment where it just lasted for a few weeks. I hope it continues, because we need that. And those of us who are followers of Christ, boy, what an opportunity to be intentional in reaching out and connecting with people right in your neighborhood and your community and get them plugged in to know about Christ. There's a level of sensitivity and awareness and openness now in some camps that we didn't have in the past. And there's a lot of hatred and distrust and animosity in others, unfortunately. And we as followers of Christ, I think that advice is the best thing for us to make sure we are loving people even when they're different than we are in terms of how they live and what they believe. God loves them. He loves everybody. He created everybody, so we must love them too. All right, we're talking about decluttering our life today. William Morris made the statement, have nothing in your house that you do not know to be useful. That's pretty good, isn't it? Get rid of things that are not useful. And he goes on to say, or believe to be beautiful. And I read that and I thought, well, my wife gets to stay. but seriously, when we have things in our immediate environment, in our car, our home, our office, our bedrooms, our family rooms. And if they're really not useful, and sometimes they can be useful just as mementos and memories and history, and I get that, but our lives can become overly crowded with things that hold us back, or as William Morris said, not beautiful to build our spirit. Come on. We can have things in our environment that are not building us up in our relationship with Christ. Talk about decluttering your life. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. And we're thankful for your calls, by the way, to our storyline at 888-888-1717.
Hello, Dr. Randy. I just called about decluttering your life. And it seems like my life, I go through phases where I have a week or a month or maybe even 3-4 months where I'm really cluttered, lots to do, a lot of things weighing on your mind. And then you hit a phase where you're not so cluttered anymore. So I think it's important to just lay it on the Lord and realize that you're living your life. And even though you're cluttered, take a minute to take a deep breath, enjoy what you have, praise God for what you have and what He's given you, and actually enjoy the clutter, because someday that's going to be gone. And that's how I deal with the clutter.
I think you're talking about the kids, right? Because someday they will. And I'm sure there are days you think that is a little clutter right there. But seriously, they're again, the focus of what's most important. All right, back to the calls. Let's go to Arizona. Mona, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm day by day doing. Mm. The clutter in my house, it's funny. It's tied emotionally. So the more upset or the more stressed I am, the more clutter I have. Mm. And I just walk by it like it's a friend.
Yeah, has it gotten out of hand?
Oh, of course. It's there. I have the dining room table. You can't see the wood that's got stuff on it. The piano has stuff on it. The dining room, the living room. And it's not big pieces. They're little pieces. Like, I'm going to read that book, and I'm going to paint that paint, and I'm going to play that piano music, and mm-hmm. my bedroom is not cluttered. Mm. I refuse to have clutter in my bedroom, but everywhere else, there's just little piles. And
well, how do you find success in that? You have what is it that you tell yourself about the bedroom that makes it work for you?
I have to be able to rest. I've got to have rest. I can't deal with... I mean, there's some place I just have to say no and be able to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't see any logic in it at all. It's very frustrating. Yeah.
I don't think there is logic for those of us that hang on to things. There's some sense of control, right? If I get rid of it, I may need it, but I have it there. Also a sense that if I say that book, I'm going to donate it because I'm never going to read it. You're admitting that you're giving up on something you thought was important at some point in your life. So there's probably a little sense of, you know, beat yourself up. I failed in this area. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I do.
And those are things that we know Satan will use. He will use these things.
Oh, yeah, very definitely. Your self-worth. You can't even take care of stuff.
Yeah. And so what one thing do you think you could do in this month to start small, today even, that would help?
Maybe pick one area, like mm-hmm. just the dining room table and there get everything off of it so you can see the placemats.
All right. Then maybe that's your goal. Maybe that's your goal for the rest of the day. Just say, hey, I'm going to listen to the radio and enjoy the music and be blessed. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to intentionally take everything off that table. And I'm going to do one of three things, either file it or throw it or donate it.
Right.
Is that something you think you could do today?
I could.
Will you?
Yep. That's the question. It's not could I, it's will you.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know that.
Yeah, and you're a little more excited about, yep, and then, could I, will I? That's it. That's really, it's a will I question. Come on. We all look around. We know there are things in our life that can be decluttered at different levels, and it's just a matter of making a decision. Hey, before we go back to calls, here's a few stats for you. There are 52,952 storage units in the United States. Wow. Which is considerably more than McDonald's and Starbucks locations combined. All right. The national average for a storage unit per month is $100. So it's $1,200 a year. And then the average person keeps it for at least a year or more. Wow. Retail sales of home organization products reached $16 billion in 2016 and projected to generate $19 billion. That was back in 2021. You can imagine now. So we have a good idea. We go and buy this stuff to get organized, and then we misplace that. I don't know. 54% of Americans are overwhelmed by the amount of clutter they have, but 78% said, I have no idea what to do with it. Even if I want to declutter, I don't know what to do with it. Americans collectively spend $2.7 billion every year, two-thirds of us spending up to $50 yearly replacing items that we can't find. Jennifer gave me that look. You gave me that look, Jennifer. What are you looking for that you can't find?
Right now it's wall hooks.
Wall hooks, okay. For me, it's out in the garage. I buy stuff at Ace Hardware or Home Depot for repair things, and I bring them home and I put them somewhere, and then I say, oh, yeah, Don, I know it's out in the garage, and I can't. So I go back, I drive another 3 miles and buy the same 59-cent item that I will later find in the garage. Come on, we're all in this battle together. Okay, I think it's time to, I think it's time to get back to our calls. It looks like May is on the line. Appreciate your call. What's going on with you today?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now, you admit you're a hoarder?
Yes, I am I was disorganized, and I've been learning. You know, I grew up, I was always compared to my two sisters, and they're always, you know, prim, organized. But me, I was happy-go-lucky. But then I became a Christian, and God has been showing me the way, and He's used my husband who rebuked me. At first, I thought it was harsh, but then, you know, we're Christians, and we know when God showing us the way, and I'm like, I can't go on like this. Mm-hmm. It can't be an excuse that I grew up like this. You know, I can't.
How bad did it get?
It's bad. Okay, for example, I've lost purses with my credit card, with my driver's license, and it's not just one time, but many times.
Mm-hmm.
That's how disorganized.
It's lost somewhere in the piles around the house. Is that what you're saying?
Not just in the house, but, you know, out there.
Out there in the car and other places, yeah.
Yeah, and I forget stuff.
So your husband rebuked you, said, like, hey, this ain't good. This isn't going to work.
Yes, it has to stop.
Yeah.
Yes, and, you know, as moms, we're always, like, buying stuff, and then, oh, I'm going to give this to somebody. Oh, this has been old, but I'm going to put it aside and then give it. But then it keeps piling up, mm-hmm. and then. And my husband, when are you going to give them? And then sometimes I would come home and they're gone. And I'm like, where are they? You know, it's been sitting there for years.
Yeah.
So
someday I'll do it. Yeah, someday. I understand that. Okay. Now, May, tell me, what one thing have you done to deal with this?
Okay. One thing, I really thank God for my husband, because I prayed about it. I know I realized I was treading the wrong path, but at the same time, God, I had an ailment in 2018. I had a breast cancer, mm-hmm. which is gone now, but at that time, God used that. And I thought to myself, man, if God's going to take me, I'm not going to burden my family with all my stuff.
No.
So my lifestyle changed after that. I would, like, take care of business.
Yeah, I can hear you're the happy-go-lucky one in the family. And I think your husband's probably saying, honey, I love you, but come on. And let's get organized. You know, you talk about things. We go out. You mentioned going out and buying things and doing things. I don't know if I comprehend this statistic that was given to me, but it says the average American spends $18,000 per year on non-essential items. Now, the only thing I can imagine is you start doing the little things. Did I really need that at the grocery store? Was that really something I needed at the hardware store? Is that something we really needed for the kids? And it probably does add up. And so when people call in and say, I'm struggling financially, maybe even if that's half true, think of the difference it would make if we really had a budget, followed it, and be intentional in the financial area.
As you know, everyone is born with unique DNA. Did you know that living an intentional life is connected to a different type of DNA?
The essence of intentional living is that we have a life animated by the spiritual DNA of rebirth in Christ.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, DNA, he takes an in-depth look at how living intentionally and having a deep relationship with Jesus will change how you live your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hope you'll do that. We have the website and our social media and all the things there to help you, encourage you at theintentionallife.com. Thank you for being a part of the ministry. We really, really appreciate it. All right, let's move on to Arizona. Caroline's on the line. What's your story?
Intentional living has changed my life on the same thing of clutter. I have never been a good housekeeper. Housekeeping is not my favorite indoor sport. It's not that God loves me whether I'm a messy housekeeper
or I'm
a great housekeeper, but I knew it was dysfunctional for me. And so I was praying about it, you know, and I was listening to you, Intentional Living, when I first started listening, and you said, just find one thing that would make a difference. And
yeah.
I'm going to do that. And so what I did was I said, taking on the whole house was more than I could do, but I could clean up the kitchen after supper. So yep. That when I got up in the morning to worship and read my Bible, I didn't have a sink full of dirty dishes shouting obscenities at me. And so I prayed about it. And so, you know what? Every night I got up and I said, Lord, give me the strength to clean this kitchen up. And so I did it. And after 30 days, honestly, you would not believe this was the same house, because it wasn't just the kitchen that got cleaned up. It was the whole house. It spread yep. from one place to the next. And a friend of mine told me this acronym, which was the DIN policy, and that is do it now. And so when I walk past something that's out of place, you know, I just grab it there and put it where it needs to be. And yep. so I never have to go back and shovel out the kitchen or shovel yep. out the rest of the house. So I am so grateful for Intentional Living for that purpose. And, you know, the other thing of it is when I learned that I could change that part of it, and it spilled over into my eating habits, it spilled over into, you know, how I talk, you know, because I just took one project at a time and I didn't try to take on the whole
yeah.
world.
You know, Caroline, listen, one author on habits talk about habit stacking. And what he means, I think, is that one habit tends to help you develop the next one. If you're spending time to read scripture every day, it's going to be easier for you to say, well, hey, now I can spend some time in prayer. And you start developing one habit after another, and they tie together. Have you ever noticed how one bad habit kind of leads to another? And so they can stack as well. But finding these habits to build you up intentionally is a powerful thing, good thing. All right. Denise, looks like maybe you have a question. What's your question today?
Okay, my question is, I have a lot of things to declutter. And when I get down to it, I can spend a few hours going through things and organizing. But when it comes to sentimental items, things like, especially in my childhood, I do come from a broken home. I'm almost 60, and I definitely need to get rid of more. I have totes and totes and totes of sentimental items, and in a couple groups that they've told me to take pictures. I just cannot let those things go, and I've had friends say, you really need therapy, and I don't have the funds for them. I'm raising little kids. And I work part-time, so my health isn't good, so I can't work enough to get that therapy. I wish I could.
Okay, now, Denise, listen.
I just
listen.
Want to know one step.
Yeah, let me ask you this. If I were to enter into your house, what would I see?
You would see, well, if you came in, you'd see a lot of three-year-old toys everywhere. But I have totes in my room, totes in my closet, just too many totes. And the sentimental things are the things I just absolutely cannot even grapple with getting rid of.
So you even aware of the fact that it's an issue for you?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when I declutter, it feels so good. I love it. But when it comes to the sentimental items, I just can't even go there.
Yeah. What does it mean to you if you were to dispose of something that has sentimental value from your family? What does it do to you emotionally?
Well, it makes me really, really sad, like, to the thought of it. I know it sounds crazy, but just the thought of it, it brings up a lot of sorrow. And I think I feel like I've really tried to ask God to help me get to the root of this. I feel like it's giving up, like, I'm throwing out a piece of like the happiest part of my life when I was a little girl. Mm. I feel like I'm throwing out that piece or getting rid of, I really don't understand exactly, but.
Yeah. You said you had one question. What was that one question?
What step could I possibly take to move towards being able to get rid of anything, papers or anything in any of my totes?
Yeah, listen.
I feel paralyzed.
I hear you. And I think, Denise, part of this is a process. You sort of already got around to first base and understand that these items themselves, they don't mean anything. They're probably just little mementos that don't mean anything to anybody other than you, but they mean something to you. And to be able maybe to pick up each of these items and look at them and really try to say, why is this important to me? And hold it and talk about it to yourself. Like you said, maybe talk to someone in counseling that can help you on the bigger scope. It sounds like maybe you look back at your childhood and say, I wish I could go back there. It's not working for me today. And I would imagine if you could make today work better, it might help you get rid of the things from yesterday in your life. And that really is intentional living. All right, quickly, before we're out of time, Kelly, I think we got time for you. What have you learned?
I love that you're having this conversation because it's such a big problem for so many people. I actually read a book a few years ago called Unstuffed, and it was all about decluttering not just your personal space and your schedules, but your mind, your body, your soul. And it was so good. It was such a huge eye-opener for me that the decluttering stuff is just letting too much stuff in. You know, my husband always says the house wouldn't be so hard to clean if we didn't have so much stuff. And he's right. Like, we do have too much stuff. And even it's been a few years since I read the book and went through all of the rooms and got rid of things. And the recluttering has started to happen where more things are getting let back in. And so I feel like I should read the book again, start over. My house was so cluttered, I couldn't even pick a room to start. I had to pick a closet, just one closet of one room, and start there. Start small.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to end this whole series from here and earlier in the week on this topic of declutter. Start small, baby steps. You know, what one thing could you do today just to feel a little more in control and give clutter less control? One thing. I'm Dr. Randy. We got to run. Thank you for your prayers and your support. Ultimately, we want to declutter our life for the most important reason, and that is that we can build a relationship with Christ and those that we love. Have a great day. Remember, Intentional Living is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.